This episode of the Beauté Industry Podcast was brought to you by the Australian Dermal and Laser Institute. Hello and welcome to the Beauté Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauté Industry, Tamara Shaw. Here we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauté Industry. My guest today is the winner of the prestigious title Therapist of the Year in both 2015 and 2016. Crowned by the Australian Beauty Industry Awards, otherwise known as the ABIAs. It speaks volumes that Daniela has not won this award just once in her lifetime, but twice on back-to-back years, hence my need to introduce you all to her. A dual-role business owner and therapist, Daniela Boerma and I connected over conversation about what it means to be a therapist, her passion for treating, and we even get a little emotional speaking about her newest venture, the Bliss Project. Whether you're a therapist or not, today's episode is one everyone can benefit from, as Daniela shares with us so many valid points from her startup pathway into owning a business, which opens its books of October and fills them all the way through the entire year with back-to-back clients to the next October. I was able to sneak Daniela away from her clients for this episode. However, you will hear some day spa music in the background occasionally. From Bliss Day Spa in New South Wales, today we welcome Daniela Boerma.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and, it's a real pleasure to be part of it.
Likewise in having you. Daniela, we generally start the podcast in the same way every single week. However, this episode is going to be focused on that exact question and we're going to deep dive into your career. So I'd actually like to start today's episode a little bit differently in asking what made you want to therapy and enter into the industry?
Well, it's been a very long career for me. When I was about 11, I had a neighbour that worked from home and in the school holidays, she would invite me in to be her little apprentice, she called me. And I would sit in the corner and I'd watch her do her waxing and her makeup and facial treatments. And then I'd clean up after her in between each client. And that got me on the journey of thinking, maybe I would like to do this. Nursing was also something that I really was interested in also. But, that was a little bit too far in the future for me to think about. At that time, at 11, I was so focused on beauty therapy, painting nails and making people look beautiful. That was my passion really from about that age. And then after high school, I excelled in science in high school. Nothing else but in science. I couldn't spell very well. I had problems with comprehension. I was a visual learner, but I actually got technology and I got science. So that got me on another journey with anatomy and physiology, and then the thought of nursing came into the path as well. And then the year I was leaving school, everything changed in nursing. Nursing used to be, and we're talking a long time ago, I mean, I'm 52 now and this is my 36th year in the industry. I opened my first business at 16, but back then nursing changed and you had to go to university. And I was leaving in year 10. I was not going to go on to year 11 and 12 because I wasn't academic enough, I felt. And I just wanted to get out of school and start really learning and making money. So that's when I decided definitely to do beauty therapy.
Fantastic. So 11 years old, you are a little apprentice yes. in a home salon,
yes.
first business at 16. What was your first job as a qualified beauty therapist?
Well, I trained with Eileen Lazar. She was in the Strand Arcade. I think it's now called the Australian College, Strand College, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Eileen offered me a position in her salon after we finished our training. And I come from a very long line of business owners. And my father was the one that said, no, you're going to work for yourself. He was an immigrant from Italy and he had a big business with his brothers. And all he wanted to do was to see his children do the same thing. So fortunately for me, I worked for Eileen only for 3 months, which was just enough to get a little bit of confidence. And I had no idea what I was doing when I opened my salon, I have to admit. I was a good beauty mm-hmm. therapist, but I didn't know anything about business. So my father mentored me through that journey. And he used to say to me, he said, you know, I know you're a good therapist, but I'm going to teach you how to be a good businesswoman. And that's exactly what he did.
Ah, that is so special because I think so many, exactly as you've said and you've described there, so many beauty therapists perform amazing treatments and they are a fantastic therapist, but when they go into becoming a business owner themselves, they lack the business skills.
That's
so
right.
That's a really special, yeah. It would have been a really nice bonding move
it
for
was,
you both.
It was, and, you know, in the first instance, you know, I was saying to my father, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. And he said, don't worry. I can use you as a tax deduction. But to his surprise, in 12 months, we actually made a profit in our first year of trading.
Wow.
And which is really unheard of because we just basically found a position in Cronulla near where we live and started from scratch. But I think one of the smartest things that I did, because I was so young, I employed much older staff. So people presumed that the older staff members were the owners, and that's how we played it. That's exactly how we played it. We led people to believe that I was an employee. So, and it worked. It absolutely worked. And then as I gained the experience and I matured, people then gave me, you know, the credibility to be a business owner.
Yeah, because that would be quite difficult having a look at a 16-year-old, you know, from a consumer point of view and thinking, hang on, how are they the business owner? So actually very strategic from your point of view.
Yeah, yeah. So I wore a lot of makeup and very high heels back then. You know, it was so different in the industry back then. And we're talking 1983 when I first opened the business late that year. And business was so easy back then. Well, not easy, but, you know, there was no GST, there was no superannuation. You know, you basically took your checkbook stubs to your accountant on the 1st of July and you'd say, how did I go? Pretty much, you know. So now it's much more involved. There's much more to learn. But one thing I know for sure, that my success didn't come until I had my hands in every cent that was made. I knew exactly where it was going, whereas the first part of my career I didn't do so well with that. I let the accountant tell me how we were going, and you know, I didn't really have that concept of budgeting and making sure, you know, you had enough money for this and enough money for that. So I did get myself into a little bit of trouble because the first business I owned for 7 years, that was very successful. My biggest mistake was moving it to a different location, into a very big hotel nearby, and the hotel had some defects, and 3 months after we opened, so did the hotel had to be closed down to be repaired.
Oh no.
And I lost a lot of trade, and we never really gained it back. So I struggled there for 3 years. So by this stage it was 10 years into my career, and we actually had to close. I actually failed at that business. And it was a very tough pill to swallow because I'd worked so hard and then crashed down so badly. But we were building our first home, my husband and I, and we decided to build a salon in the house. So I basically got council approval, spoke to the bank, got FPOS facilities, and opened at home. So we basically shut that salon down and moved it all to home, what was left of it. And I raised my three sons for 20 years as a sole trader, working from home very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real journey. You know, raising children and working isn't easy, as everyone would know. But I was able to choose my own hours. I was able to, you know, make enough money to put my kids through school, through high school, pay some of our mortgage. And it was quite a lucrative business working from home. So I have a lot of respect for sole traders because, you know, I've done every aspect and every kind of business. And being a sole trader is a really great way to be able to continue your career without giving it away and having your children. But as I found 20 years on, it got lonely. Being a sole trader is a very lonely business. And I ended up going back to college and I became a qualified in light studies. And I did my postgraduate diplomas and that started me on another journey. So for a short period, I became a distributor of some laser equipment and formed another company and started that. And I really loved it, but my passion was in the application, not the distribution of the machinery. So I closed that down and I started then looking for a business to move my sole trading business into. And that's what took me to Bliss Day Spa in Caringbah 6 years ago.
Fantastic. And you've just ticked off so many boxes already. You know, you were saying you've had the kind of shop front, moved into hotel, come back into home spa where you enjoy the flexibility but are hit with that almost, you know, your own four walls, it really is essentially, but now gone into distribution and back into the salon as now. I'm wondering, Daniela, if you can remember and explain the feeling of the first treatment you ever performed on a paying client.
I was terrified. It was my first day working for Eileen Lazar in the Strand Arcade in Sydney, and it was a full body massage. And I thought, you know, I hope I do a good job. I hope the lady doesn't know I'm so young. Anyway, I got her into the room and she, you know, I gave her the gown to put on and, you know, dimmed the lights, the music was playing. I mixed and blended my oil. And we started the treatment and within minutes she was snoring her head off and I thought, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then she rebooked me for 6 weeks' time and I thought, well, maybe I might be good at this, you know, like this is feeling good. And then I got a call the next day from Eileen to say, could you work another day next week? And I thought, oh, this is good. And I did a facial treatment and the client seemed to be very happy about the treatment, but I felt I had failed a little bit in skin diagnosis. I wasn't aware of, I think when you're so young, you tend to adapt and understand more about young skins. And it wasn't until, you know, 12 months later that I really, really, after doing more study on mature skins, understood the concept of diagnosis. So I think it's really important too when you first come out of college is to, if you feel like you don't get something within the modules of your training, there's so many ways you can learn more. You can enroll in up more courses, online courses that you can do. And there's also lots of free information to just tweak your training.
Yes, you're absolutely correct there because I think our schooling and our education that we go through, while it's much more advanced nowadays, you do still only have a number of weeks or months to learn a component or a treatment or a condition. And you really do just have to tick that box off when you're studying, because you need to move forward to learn the next thing. But sometimes that information can get left behind if it has been taught, but it hasn't been learned.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. What you're saying there about going and rehashing that, and no one's ever going to look at you and think, why are you studying more? If anything, you get more praise, because that's fantastic. We want you to be brushing up on those skills.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think now with what we have to work with, we've got all of the Facebook pages for support. We've got, and a lot of it's free. So there's really no excuse. There is absolutely no excuse for a new therapist to not understand something, because at a click of a button, you can ask a question and have a professional answer you. And it's just such a wonderful tool. And I think that's why our therapists, the quality of our therapists these days, are so much better than when I trained in 1983. It's just phenomenal that the industry is growing so much.
You're so right. So what I've heard from you, two things here, and I don't know if you realize that you've said it, but you said, I failed at hotel spa and I failed at the diagnosis, but in my eyes, you are such a winner. And I think now, all of these years later, that proof is in the pudding, because you've won the Therapist of the Year award twice now, in both 2015 and 2016, which is back to back and just absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
What did that feel like in 2015 to hear your name called out and that you realise you won?
Well, I've always been a person that gets knocked. If I get knocked down, I take time, I take a breather, and then I find a way to come back. Because every failure that you think you have had, you can learn from to be then successful in that area. So although I did sulk for a little while after that business failed, and I did say, I'll never go back into business again. I'll always be a sole trader. I'll never do that again. But never say never. You know, as you mature, things change. And once I decided that I wanted to do it again, I just thought, right, I'm going to do it right this time. So I led. My career led me into a path of what I really, really wanted to do. I had to focus on what is it that I really, really want to achieve and do it at the best of my abilities. So that was my thing. So I gave away manis, pedis, waxing, and I focused more on technology and skin-driven treatments. And once I had that focus, I think that's when I really excelled. I've always had a successful client base where I've been booked 8 to 12 weeks in advance. And now at Bliss Day Spa, I've got bookings 12 months in advance. So we have clients that book 12 appointments per year. It sort of makes it a bit difficult for me at times, because I like to do a lot of training and a lot of courses through the year. But I think, you know, when someone says you fail, or I felt I failed, it actually ignited a fire in my belly to succeed. So winning Therapist of the Year was, I just couldn't believe it. It was a feeling of relief in a way, also to be recognised that you have done the best that you can do and people recognise you for that. It gave me more confidence. But hearing my name read out, I stopped for a moment, and the person sitting next to me, I said, did they say my name? And he said, yes, they said your name. You won. And my family were all there, and my son picked me up, and, you know, we had three tables at the ABIA Awards, and all my family supported me, and my staff as well. And it was probably one of the most, apart from having children, of course, and meeting the love of my life, but it was one of those moments, absolutely, 100%.
Oh, that is so special. And just, I love what you've said there. I talk often on the podcast about being a specialist rather than being a generalist. And I think that just perfectly, exactly as you've said, put into words that when you really laser focus what you are good at, you just excel in it. So rather than just being good at everything, you're fantastic at a few small things that you fill your days with. And it just makes such a difference to your daily life and what you're doing in your career.
Yeah, I love anything technical and I love device work. So my passion for technology is I've got a lot of technology in my salon, and I don't think there's one machine that I don't love. It just fascinates me, and I'm a bit of a mad scientist on myself. I try different applications to try different things for different clients. We're at Bliss Day Spa, we are very focused on helping people from all areas of life, and we do a lot of work after hours. If someone needs a treatment and can't afford it, we just make it happen. We just find a way. Aww. We always find a way. And as I've always said, it is our duty of care as good therapists to make everyone have the opportunity to have beautiful skin.
That's beautiful. And in 2016, just a year later, the very same feeling happened because you then won again for the second year in a row.
And that was the biggest shock for me because I didn't think you were allowed to win 2 years in a row. I knew you could enter, but
right.
I don't believe anyone. Well, I just didn't know that I was up there. Mm. I was happy to be a finalist because I want to make sure everyone understands this as well. When you enter the ABIA awards or any awards and you make it to finalist, that's amazing. You don't have to win to be successful. It's about being part of something big. And I think Linda Woodhead has organized a platform for professional therapists to come together and, you know, celebrate our successes, not just the winners that are announced. It's everyone in that category is a winner. So for me to be there a second time as a finalist, I was like, this is so good. And we had such a fabulous time. Let's face it, it's like, who doesn't like putting a gown on and going to a fabulous event? But then to win it again, I couldn't even speak. I was speechless. My legs were wobbling and my voice was quivering. I was really, really amazed, and it was I was so humbled. I really was.
It sounds like you're still almost besotted and beside yourself that you've won it 2 years, even though it's happened. It sounds like you're still shocked.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just focused on doing what I do best, like you said, and the second year, I think the success of being a finalist and winning and then going into the following year, it drove me to sort of achieve even more in my career. Mm. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I've met so many incredible people through the ABIA awards that, you know, and I'm fortunate enough to have you know, become friends with some of the educators. It's just a wonderful experience, and I really encourage all beauty therapists at some point in their career to apply. It's a great process. It actually makes you realize what you have achieved and what you can achieve and how to set more goals to even do better the following year. So I think the whole process is a great experience for anyone in the industry.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, I can share with our podcast community that you said to me you need to apply this year, and it was actually quite nice to be able to sit down. And so for anyone who doesn't know the process of application into, there's so many different awards, you know, Therapist of the Year, Salon of the Year, Educator of the Year. And it's actually just quite nice to sit down and take a moment to reflect on your career or your salon or your clients. Like, there are some pretty deep questions in there that you often don't sit down and think about. But it was actually just beautiful to have a little moment to really take a look at how far you've come from.
Yeah, I remember my first application, because this year we've applied again, and this is my fifth application. And, you know, the very first time I did it, reading my opening statement, I thought, gee, I've done a lot. And it wasn't until I read back on what I had written that I realized how far my career had gone and how much I had squeezed into that time. And it's a wonderful thing to do. It's a personal growth experience, I think.
We will be back with more of the Beauté Industry podcast after this short message from our sponsors. The Australian Dermal and Laser Institute is currently offering educational classes across Australia and online to raise the standard of skin technology and education. They offer courses in IPL, laser hair and tattoo removal, LED, plasma, skin needling and more. To book an educator in your space or to attend a workshop, visit www.dermalandlaser.com.au for more information.
Completely agree. And I'm assuming there's some therapists or business owners who are listening to this now and thinking that they would love to hold a title or win an award, you know, at the ABS. But I would love to explore the pathway that kind of led you to achieving that title. Was there ever a defining moment in your career which you actually, you know, you had a brainwave and said, I think I could actually win, that led you to apply, or did you just want to apply and just see how you go?
Well, I had never heard of the ABIA Awards, and a very close colleague of mine, Will Fennell, who he actually compares the ABIA Awards, and he is the distributor in Australia for Biodroga Institute, which is the product range that I have sold for 36 years. I'm a very loyal customer. The product is wonderful, and I have always been very loyal to that brand. And he came in to the salon one day to do power hour. We have a power hour once a week, and Will mentors the staff on new products and ingredients. And he said, Danny, you've got to enter this process. You know, you could actually win this. And I said, oh, I'm not going to enter an award. You know, I was a sole trader for 20 years. I had the salons for 10 years, but, you know, that was such a long time ago. He said, I've seen your work. You have to apply. You have to apply. Mm. So I didn't take it seriously. I just said, oh, yes, you know. And I thought about it, and then I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go. And the submission took me 3 months to put together. It was a big process. And wow. By the end of it, I thought, oh, gosh, this was a lot of work. I'm not doing this again. We'd only been at Bliss for 2 years. I sent it in and I waited, and I'd actually forgotten about the submission. I hadn't remembered that the date of being announced who the finalists were was coming up. And it was one of my staff members that said, when do you find out about that competition you've entered? And I said, oh, I actually think it was 2 days ago. Did I get an email? And they said, yes, you did. And you're a finalist.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was then that that defining moment was, oh, my gosh, I did it. I got through. So, you know, that was a wonderful moment. But I thank Will for encouraging me, because I think, you know, I lack a little bit of self-confidence at times in my career. And back then I certainly had lacked self-confidence. So I was really encouraged by someone, and I hope by people listening to me today that will encourage them to have a go.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because I think, you know, as therapists and as women, often we don't believe in ourselves, or we have what I've been experiencing as a self-employed startup is the the imposter syndrome, you know. Mm-hmm. And little Tamara comes into my brain and goes, hang on, why do you think you can do that, you know? Or really, why do you think you can enter that award? You're not going to win. But sometimes it's so
but what if you do win?
exactly right. And it's just nice to have that validation. Yes. And that reinforcement. Yeah. From others. Yeah. That, hang on, no, shut that voice up, because actually you can do it. And I think that's really the power that we give to the managers and the business owners in this industry, is to support the staff. And I want to touch base there. You were talking about your power hour. So I'm assuming education and further study is huge into the lead up of being Therapist of the Year and obtaining and retaining that title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this year to date, I've done four courses. And, you know, I'm a therapist of 36 years experience, but that doesn't mean I know everything. I'm so open to learning, and I'm like a sponge, actually. The older I get, the better I retain information. And I try to maximize that as much as I can. So if there's a course coming up, I do it. I never say no. I've done two online courses, and I've done two-day courses as well. One with Gay Wardle. She's amazing. She's a mentor of mine that I really look up to. And in fact, I remember, I think it was the 2016 award, I was up on stage to make my speech, and I hadn't met Gay. I didn't know who Gay was, but I saw this beautiful woman in the front row of the auditorium at her table in a beautiful silver sparkly top. And I remember saying at the end of the speech that, you know, keep up your education, because education helps us learn and grow and empower us as women and become more confident therapists. And I looked down at this beautiful smile and I thought, I want to know that lady. I think she's lovely. And I didn't even know that it was Gay Wardle. But yeah, it was funny. And you know, people like Julie Pantidosi, business coaches, Billy Rickman, Psych Chrissy, I admire them so much. I mean, I look at them all the time on Facebook and Instagram, and I think what wonderful things they're doing. For therapists that can't afford to join their programs, they give free advice. So, you know, listen to what they've got to say, because it's so important. It's empowering. It keeps you motivated. And you really do learn a lot from people. I learn from people every single day.
And you just, if there's a moment where you wake up and you think you know everything, you better go back to sleep.
Yes, exactly.
wake up again and change your mindset.
Even protocols have changed. You know, like Nancy Abdu from the Australian Dermal and Beauty Institute, she is always helping me with new protocols that are coming out. She calls me frequently and says, you've got to change this, you've got to do that. You know, it's wonderful. And APAN is a great tool as well. Every therapist should join APAN. I think that's a must.
I think our industry is just, as you're saying, you know, when I'm assuming you started out in beauty industry, there was nothing like this. And, you know, in a space of a couple of minutes, you've been able to rattle off so many communities and beautiful mentors and coaches. And, you know, we never used to have that in the industry. And I think, you know, what's exciting about us as a company and the industry as a whole is that people are starting to feel the change and the gravitation and the shift towards something that's really positive and really quite special.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I can't stress enough. The change has been phenomenal. I mean, we used to do a letterbox drop and an ad in our local newspaper once a month, and our budget, you know, back then it was expensive to do that. You know, it was crazy. Now we've got Instagram pages and Facebook pages and posting and posting and posting. However, I do believe that we focus as business owners on way too much on what everyone else is doing.
Yes.
And we lose our focus sometimes. And I'm guilty of it. I went through a stage last year where I just had to stop looking at other salons and what they were doing, because it gave me social media anxiety. I couldn't look at it anymore. It was, oh my gosh, they're doing so much better than we are, and what am I doing wrong? And I wasn't doing anything wrong. We were doing really well. It wasn't until I started, you know, moving away from concentrating on what I was doing that we started, you know, getting a little bit off track. So just concentrate on what you're doing and focus on it and build on it, but don't worry about what everyone else is doing.
Yes, best advice ever. I want to share a story, actually. There was a post in another Facebook group the other day, not our beauty industry community, but somewhere else. And a business owner came up and she wrote a post saying, there is a new clinic that's opened up literally two or three doors down the road. What can I do to make sure that my clients don't go there and my therapist don't there. What is it about this clinic that they don't do well? Have you had a service there? You know, da, da, da. And I was looking at the comments and people were saying, oh, their prices are really, really cheap. Their therapists are undereducated. And it was just focusing on a lot of the negatives. Mm. And I thought to myself, Tamara, if this person, because we have a moderated group, so when somebody puts a post up, I either allow it or I decline it based on the nature of the post. And I thought, Tamara, would you have approved that post? And I thought to myself, probably not, because I don't want that negative conversation. And as you're saying, when you start to look at what other people are doing, it becomes a real problem because you're feeding them your energy. And so in my opinion, what I probably would have done if it did come through our community is I may have would have sent her a private message and just said, look, focus on your customer service, focus on your treatments, focus on your team, make sure everyone is rock solid, make sure they're happy, and just perform an outstanding service every single time. Do not worry what anyone else is doing.
That's right.
So it is just because it does, it manifests within you. And as you're saying, it is that social media anxiety where sometimes we look at these Facebook groups, and hence why ours is so heavily moderated, because I don't want anyone to log on and see all of these things or see how people are treating and see what people are doing fantastically or not fantastically and second guess themselves. I want it to be a nice place where we can say, look, I'm not having the best month. This clinic has opened, but what can I do to improve and just focus on us and what we're doing, but in a more positive way?
I can't agree with you more. I think that's just the best advice that you could have given anybody, and including myself, because, you know, like I said, I did get a little bit too involved at looking at what everyone else was doing. And I mean, that's just human nature. But I think what we also should be remembering is every salon is a colleague. You know, try and work together for the industry rather than against each other. And the one thing that we never do here is criticize other salons in our area. We never do that. We have quite a few salons, actually, that we are a very respectful community around the Cronulla Caringbah area. And I know nearly every salon owner. And I think that it's a really nice, refreshing way to be with other salon owners rather than treating them as rivals or competition. You know, if you do a good service, you'll be respectfully, you know, recognised in your area. And we have salons that don't do IPL that send their clients to us because they trust that we will send them back to them for their treatments. And we have quite a lot of mutual customers that we share. And I think that's a really great way to work, because I'm not going to send someone away if I can't help them. I'm going to give them a referral to someone that can help them. We don't do microblading or cosmetic tattooing or lash extensions or spray tanning. But we send our clients to what we believe are the top salons in our area. And our clients, we share them. And it can work if you have a mutual respect for each other and, you know, you introduce yourself to your other salon owners and you know, it can work. As long as you don't give away too much. But,
yeah.
But it can work. It can work. There's a lot of help out there and a lot of support from other salon owners.
And I think you've just summed up perfectly in my eyes why somebody like yourself would win a title such as Therapist of the Year, because you're there for the therapist. You know, as you've said, you don't do microblading or cosmetic tattooing. And if a client's asking for that, you're not just going to say, oh, it's a shit service, don't get that done.
Exactly.
Like if that's something that they really love and they want to explore, well, here, I'm not going to just be a nasty therapist and I want to control you, because so often I hear therapists say, they're my clients. Well, they're not your clients.
That's right.
They're anybody's clients.
Exactly.
But it's so special that you've said that, because it is a therapist's job to provide a therapy for a client. And if you as a therapist cannot provide that therapy, then refer on, and your client will thank you and love you, and your business will come back tenfold, because it's not about a possession.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. And that's how we work here. And, you know, we also did the same thing with a lot of the local GPs in our area.
Mm.
We phoned and made an appointment. We're probably working with, in our local area, a lovely plastic surgeon in a few suburbs away, and a couple of the GPs in our area. And only the other day, one of our GPs called the salon and said, I've got this patient that wants this wart removed off her face, a seborrheic wart. He said, you know, if I do it, I'm going to make her scar. I'm going to give her hyperpigmentation. And I saw the photos of what you did for Mrs. So-and-so. So I'm going to send it to you to do it. Is that okay? And I thought, wow, that's wonderful. That's just fantastic. Really wonderful. I mean, yes, we always have to work in our scope of practice. If you're trained, that's wonderful. Do it. But if you're not trained, don't try to do something that you're not trained in and qualified to do. But, you know, share your knowledge with the local community. Tell the local doctors, or even your own GP can help. You know, you can tell them, I can remove skin tags, I can do this, I can do that. You'll find a lot of GPs don't like doing that kind of work anyway. But just make yourself known to people in the industry, and people that might eventually need your help for their patients or customers.
And Daniela, if you could narrow it down to three things that you believe helped you receive the Therapist of the Year award, what would they be?
I think winning an award like that, it's incredible, and it was a highlight of my career, obviously. But really, I'm no different to anyone that's listening to this podcast. Everyone has the ability to win. If you have the ability to work really hard, which I know beauty therapists do, and hairdressers, we're all the same. We work harder than most professions, I believe. We're on our feet all day. We have back-to-back appointments. We hardly eat lunch. We hold on to our bladders for too long. We don't look after ourselves at times. We work really hard. So I'm representing all of us. And if I can do it, you can do it. Work hard. Focus on what you love doing and do it really well. And if you feel like you're not doing it really well, train again, do more courses, get advice, practice. Just get yourself out there and get to the point where you think, I'm really good at this. And you can. Everyone can achieve what I've done. I'm no different to anybody. But you've just got to have that really strong focus and that vision that it's what you want. And what we wanted and what I wanted for Bliss Day Spa was to make people feel better and look better when they left. It's changing people's lives by improving their skin, improving their confidence. And random acts of kindness work incredibly well on self-esteem for a lot of customers. And just do what you believe in. You know, it's for me, it's not always about making thousands of dollars of profit every year. That would be nice, but you know what fulfills me is the fact that I can change people's lives by helping them with their skin. And all of my staff at Bliss Day Spa have exactly the same philosophy. So I think that's how people can win.
You've given me chills and making me feel all emotional for the therapists all over that are listening to this. My goodness. You are a business owner now. You do still treat. I want to talk about a project that we were discussing the other day, the Bliss Project. For those who don't know, can you share more about that?
Yes, I can. This is where I get emotional, actually. We at Bliss Day Spa, and I encourage people, we don't advertise this part of what I'm going to tell you. What started the Bliss Project prior to that was a dear friend of mine passed away of cancer. And I nursed her for 2 weeks before she died. And she died in my arms, massaging her, because human touch is very, very calming and very soothing. And as beauty therapists, we do have we do have that touch. The human touch is so healing and comforting. So after she passed away, I wanted to do something special for cancer victims or patients, I should say. They're not victims, they're patients. Mm. So at Bliss, we have a no-charge policy for cancer patients. So that means when they come in for treatment, we at checkout, if a customer comes in and says, oh, I'm going through chemotherapy, or I've just finished my chemotherapy, or I've just had a mastectomy, or, you know, unfortunately I've had melanoma and I've just recovered, at checkout we don't charge them. It's just our pleasure to treat them for a visit. And I encourage other salons to do that. I think it's a nice gift to give back to them after going through what they've gone through. And then that got me on a journey of thinking about radiation tattoo markers, which so many of our customers have had over the years. So when a patient has radiation therapy after cancer, the radiographer has to apply tattoo dots. So they're called radiation markers, and they're tattooed into their skin. So after their treatment's finished, and 2 or 3 years down the track when they're in remission, I think it's 5 years that they go through before they're in remission, they still have those markers, and some people just want them gone. So I started the Bliss Project, and the Bliss Project was a challenge to initiate salons Australia-wide to remove radiation tattoo markers free of charge. And APAN picked up on it from a Facebook page ad that we had on our page, and ran an article in the summer magazine, I think it was, a summer journal. And it had my email address, and we got several salons Australia-wide to join us. So there are lots of people doing the Bliss Project. You don't have to call it the Bliss Project. You can call it whatever you like. I don't mind. It was my idea, but, hey, let's share it and get the word out to help people with radiation tattoo markers. It's really only 2 or 3 shots of energy from your Q-switch laser, or you may have a plasma device, or any other devices that may remove radiation tattoo markers. Advertise that you remove them free of charge, and you'll get several clients come through the door, unfortunately, that have them. Cancer's one of those things that, you know, doesn't discriminate, men and women alike, and young people. So if you'd like to join, please do, and just send your information to my email address, which I think you'll have at the bottom of the podcast. Is that right, Tamara?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
And then we'll add you to the list, and then we update the list and send it out to all the different associations that deal with cancer care and aftercare.
Fantastic. It's such a beautiful thing that you are doing for people who, you know, it sticks with you when you've had cancer, and whether, you know, you feeling better or whether it comes back, you're really giving people almost the confidence and the ability to move on and start a new chapter.
That's right.
So I think what you are doing is just absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. it fills my soul. That's my part. That's my way of giving back to a community in the industry that has given me so much since I was 16. I feel like it's something I need to do. Yeah.
Mm. And Daniela, 36 years in the beauty industry, you have ticked so many boxes. What does the future look like for you?
Well, next year I have a few plans, but next year I would like to do a little bit of mentoring for other therapists. One of the things that I found after I trained in light therapies was being a sole trader, I was on my own. I had no one to say, oh, did I do that right? Or could you just check my settings? Or what would you suggest I try with this client? I had no one to help me. So what I thought I would like to do perhaps next year is maybe help salon owners, spend a day with them, perhaps do a little bit of mentoring, getting them up to speed with confidence with their application. I'm not a trainer. I never would say that I was a trainer, but I think what I can help after girls have done their training and they've got their diplomas and they've got their certificates, I'd like to help them gain confidence in the application of their treatment. So I'm in the process of speaking with my business coach, And yeah, I think that might be something I will do next year, and you know, put it out there to the industry, and if anyone needs a little extra help, I hope to be able to do that. Gut health is something that's new to me, so I'm in the process of studying that. I love Chiz's podcast that you did the other day.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've listened to that twice now, so that's something I'm going to pursue. I'm a little bit time poor for the second half of the year, but I'm planning way ahead for next year, and that is something that I really want to delve into a little bit more. Yeah, so I think
lots on the cards.
I want to be in the salon as much as I can, and continue to treat my beautiful clients and mentor my staff. I mean, one of my staff members here has been with me on and off since my very first salon 36 years ago. So,
wow.
Two nieces have worked for me, my two nieces. So I've had the pleasure of mentoring them as well. And we've got, I feel like at the moment, Bliss Day Spa have the A-team. So the girls are really excited for the Abias and motivated, and they're really passionate, and they all have a purpose. We all have a purpose when we get up in the morning to do the best we can in the salon for our clients. So find your purpose.
Incredible. There is no stronger finish to a podcast than find your purpose. So I think we will leave it there today. Thank you so much for coming on and spreading your incredible energy, all your words of wisdom. And absolutely, I know that your pathway in the coming years to be a mentor and to bridge the gap between a qualified therapist and a performing therapist will absolutely flourish, because if anyone else is listening to this like I am, you are just so special and magical for our industry, and we need more people like you. And yeah, I will definitely put all of your email and every single way in which people can contact you, and your email is going to overflow.
Oh, Tamara, you're just so lovely, and thank you so much for saying that. That really means a lot to me, and I wasn't expecting to talk as much as I did, so I hope I haven't blabbed on too much, but I want to congratulate you on such a wonderful site as well. I'm really enjoying being part of your community, and I think it's a fabulous thing that you're doing for all of us. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you again for coming on the podcast today, and we will leave it there.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Daniela is one of the most special people I've come across in my journey through beauty industry, and when I did, I knew I needed to share her all with you. And as you can see, it was definitely worth a share. As Daniela mentioned, her next venture is helping therapists bridge the gap between training sessions and applying their skills practically with their clients. So I encourage you to reach out to her if that is something you would like to improve on. One more thing, if you have enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your industry colleagues, your teams, or your manager if they're not already listening. The more we can spread the message of community over competition, the higher vibrations we can spread throughout the industry. Until next time, stay connected.